To be the name of the Lord and all that is within us, bless his holy name. For tonight is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice because we have a choice. Hallelujah. I want to share something before we get started. There's something the Spirit quickened me to. He said we need to be carrying this. Everybody needs to start carrying it. Why? For yourself and to give away. Be prepared. They can be replenished. Make sure, even when you come to services, wherever you go, you carry one of these with you. Has everybody got it? You know, today I was driving somewhere. I forgot where I was going, downtown or something. And I forgot that I had taken off my e-pass, so I had to go through the toll booth. So as I went through the toll booth, the girl said, "How are you today?" And I said, "I'm blessed and highly favored. How about you?" She goes, "Me too." I said, "Praise God, I got a gift for you." She goes, "Really?" I said, "Yes, here." She said, "Thank you." So we have to have these with us. You just don't know where or what. God said, "Arm my people. Arm them." What greater way can we arm them with the prayers that God has given us? I was at the AutoZone today. The same thing happened. I got to talk to someone and said, "Here, boom, I got something for you. You're struggling with something? Here. Arm America with the penetrating prayer book from God Almighty." Amen? We need to arm them. They need to pray. That's sowing. If you can't sow, you ain't going to make it. You can't sow, you don't make it. You'll stay right in the stinking world, contaminated. Amen? Not advancing. You sow your way out of everything. That's how we get out of the matrix. Amen? Hallelujah. Speaking of that, let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Glory. Welcome to Tuesday Night Live, training for reigning. We are not religious. This is a military operation. God has called you into the military. Amen. So we go through Holy Ghost Boot Camp, Officers Training School. Maintaining the calling till we're chosen. And then maintaining the calling till we're chosen. And it doesn't stop. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Glory. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Of course, the word "might" means you got to cooperate. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Don't marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brothers abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now this is powerful because he says, in this message, he tells us about the difference between children of God and the children of the devil. In this, we see something very powerful. This is a process. What he's expressing here, these are the ones that have reached a true conversion and those who have not. Those who have reached a true conversion and those who have not. And that's what we're talking about, a true conversion. In other words, don't let anyone deceive you. He who practices righteousness, amen, who doesn't sin, that is a practice of life, that we live a life of honesty, humility, truth, and obedience, and love. Honesty, humility, truth, obedience, and love. That someone who practices righteousness practices a life of honesty, humility, truth, obedience, and love. I'll say that again. An individual that practices righteousness practices a life of honesty, humility, truth, obedience, and love. And has a right standing with God and Christ. Why? Because there is a true conversion. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a process of conversion, and there's levels of conversion. Amen? In 3 John chapter 1. Third John chapter 1. And verse 2. True conversion. Let's speak it. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. That you may what? Prosper. What is prosper? It is the process of conversion. There's in other words, when you prosper, you do what? Increase. When you prosper, you grow. That's a part of conversion. So when he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper. In other words, that you may increase in your conversion. In what? All things. And be in health. Just as your souls prosper. Listen, your soul's got to prosper. It's got to, and this is what we're converting all the time, is the soul, the mind, the will, the thoughts, emotions, imaginations. Amen? The choices we make, there must be a constant conversion to where it lines exactly up with the mind of Christ, the will of Christ, the desires of Christ, the image and likeness and character of Christ. So that every desire you have is what he wants. So that every choice you make is what he wants. So you're no longer in this life anymore. He is. This is where we said we died with him and our life is hidden in him. So now he's taken over. Isn't that what he called the formula of denying yourself, pick up the cross, and follow? Amen. So there's a conversion. There's a conversion level. We call it the third level. Amen. The master's level that we want to reach. So there's always a conversion. And let me tell you, God will bring you through a conversion to fulfill a position. That's what called your calling. Your calling is a part of your conversion. As you're going through your calling, you go through trials and tribulations. Why? To be chosen for a position. That's a part of your conversion. Paul reached the place of a conversion level where he was able to become all things to all people. That's where God wants us. Everybody okay? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your souls prosper. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's a part of the conversion, isn't it? That we walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren, and for strangers, who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Again, prosper is the area of a process of conversion where we are increasing and growing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In this, we want to, there's a place where there is an individual reaches a partial conversion or a full conversion. One of the things the enemy wants to do is always interrupt your conversion. If he can interrupt it, see, this is where people are not faithful. People are led by their emotions. Amen? They can't even make it through services sometimes. And you can tell an individual whether it's a true conversion or not. Some people just come to services to get what they want and then leave. That's not a true conversion, because they're still self first. Amen? They're still what? Self first. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. You know, when people can't complete certain things, I mean, how many people do you realize that you can't rely on to show up on time or whatever it is and whatever? Why? Because they haven't reached a true conversion level. They're unstable. You can't trust them. They're inconsistent. They're too easily led by how they feel. They are dangerous. I get texts from all kinds of people. I don't know how they get my whatever, but they get it. They're always wanting me to do a song, yet they can't even make it in worship. So I just ignore their stuff. If I can't see that they're in conversion, they're not faithful and true, I just ignore everything they send me. Hello? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to what? Please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your what? Your what? Sanctification, your separation unto him, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. In this area of sanctification and honor, it means separation and honesty. It means what? Separation and honest. Not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to what? Holiness. Therefore, he rejects this, does not reject man, but God, who has given us his Holy Spirit. Now, I can tell you that we have brought this scripture up multiple times in the last teachings. Why? Because God is trying to bring the reality to the body of Christ that it's our responsibility to know how to handle this vessel by surrendering it to the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Amen? We're to abound, increase in our conversion so that we turn into his likeness and his image by separation and honesty. By what? Separation from the things that are unclean and honesty. Many people still can't be honest with themselves. What happens is an individual is maintaining the position of a true conversion. I want to share with you about a true conversion. It's one who discerns the ins and outs of God's plan, always allowing him to last say. I'm going to say that again. A person that has reached an area of a true conversion, not saying that we've made it. Amen. But there's a place where a person is reading a true conversion. And the area where he or she is able to discern the ins and outs of God's plan, always allowing him to have the last say. Always. That's an individual that's in a place, a position of true conversion. They're not trying to convince. They're not trying to justify. They're not trying to manipulate. They're allowing God to have the last say in everything they do. That's a place where an individual has reached a level of a true conversion. And there are multiple levels. Does everybody understand that? What are we reaching a place where God has the what? Last say. In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 12, true conversion. Hallelujah. You know, the word tells us that you'll know them by their fruit, right? You'll know what level of conversion they are. You'll know whether they're allowing the enemy to steal their conversion or delay it or dismantle it. In verse 12, what does it say? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out. That is a conversion process. Working it out. Amen? But he says you're not going to establish it unless you got reverence and honor and respect to the Lord. And that you know that his word is true. That we should tremble. Not an area of fear. Amen? But knowing how powerful God is. He says, do what now? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without what? Complaining and disputing. Is complaining and disputing allowing God to have the last say? Heck no, you're fighting for God's place. That means that person is God is either compromised, stepped out, or haven't reached a true conversion. P-R-I-D-E will kill you. It's pride, in case you didn't know what it is. Pride grumbles, complains, and accuses. It's always got to have a word. And it ain't a word from the Lord. They want to have the last word. But they live a but ministry. I won't go any further than that. Hallelujah. And verse 14 again. Do all things without what? Complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Holding fast the word of life. Everyone say word of life. See, the reality is that it is the word of life. It's the word of life. It's not just a word. It is the words of life by God Almighty. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Work out your conversion to advance to the next level. Complainers, disputers, and disruptors will not allow God to have the last say. It is delaying and prolonging and misleading from their conversion. It will delay it. Person can go on another path from it. It prolongs it. Remember, God only rewards after obedience. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that's why there's many people who've been with the Lord for many years have never reached a true conversion, because they've always allowed the enemy to have the last say and not God. Oh, happy days. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's speak it. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Did they reach true conversion yet? No. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. For where you are still carnal. This was not a promotion letter, I want you to know. This was a rebuke letter from Paul to the church. Because their conversion had been delayed and postponed. And he says, for you're still carnal. Why? For where there's envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like what? Mere men. Like worldly people. Their God is themselves. They have to have the last say. It's all about them. Hallelujah. Look at what he says. And then he confirms. He said, when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who then is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor neither he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, and you are God's building. Oh, hallelujah. Behaving like mere men, not sons and daughters of God. Detained, their conversion has been detained by the enemy. Remember, there's always the conversion, there's always that process. We are in the calling constantly. Do you think we need to recognize these things? Yeah. James chapter 3. Again, these are areas where God gives us strategies of discernment. He's imparting into us, I want you to understand, more wisdom tonight. In verse 13, James 3:13. Who is what? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by what? Good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to what? Yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Self-seeking, put self-opinion before God's opinion. Amen? Puts self-opinion before God's opinion and worldly wisdom before God's wisdom. Remember, God's wisdom is from above. It is first in all things. How many of y'all know we need wisdom? Wisdom does what? Tells you what to do. Amen. Proverbs 2. If wisdom tells you what to do, sometimes it's going to tell you to shut up. Shut up. Shut up and listen. I think there's a book out, something like that. Hallelujah. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for who? The upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good what? Path. Godly wisdom is the key to advance and maintain conversion. The wisdom from above. You cannot get it without relationship. You can ask for wisdom, but it never stays without relationship. Because wisdom is constant. It's not a one-time event. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not what? Lose heart. We don't give up. We don't stop. We press forward. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame. That's called repentance. Not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not follow or believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ's sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this earthen treasure, vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of what? Us. Not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Remember, the enemy shoots lies to veil us again. Amen? Because they fear your true conversion. I want you to grab hold of this. The enemy fears your true conversion. He fears you. He knows that an individual who reaches a true conversion can't be moved. can't be moved. Psalm 27. Hallelujah. Didn't say that person won't make a mistake, but he can't be moved. Psalm 27, verse 7. Remember, it says that the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus. Is where? In the face of Jesus. So I think God is trying to say something here. Like, seek me. 27:7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the smooth path because of my enemy. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Unless I had what? Believe. That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Remember, your heart is the core of all desire. Amen? So, he says, seek, advance into his presence and seek his desire for the answer. What is your desire, Lord? What is your desire? Every decision we make, we'd always want his opinion. Everything we do is his opinion. That's why it says, seek ye the kingdom of God first, his righteousness, and all things will be added. The problem is it's a place where it must be practiced and perfected. I'm going to say practice and perfected. Everybody's going to make a mistake now and then, but there's an area where 50% is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. Ephesians chapter 4. So in your conversion, don't forget that others are going through the conversion also. Amen? So as everybody's in the process of conversion, reaching that place where they finally shut up and allow God to have the last say. Amen? Boy, the house will be in divine order then. Verse 17. Again, that's a wonderful thing just to say. Are you allowing God to have the last say? Apparently not. Verse 17, chapter 4, Ephesians. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk and talk in the futility of their mind and their mouth, having their understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their what? Hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to the work of all uncleanness with greediness. He says, but you've not, so what? Learn Christ. In other words, what's he simple saying? You haven't reached the true conversion yet. Why? If you did reach a true conversion, you wouldn't be acting this way. But you've not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you do what? Put off what? Concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. A person who has reached a true conversion is always putting off the old man. He's disconnecting. Well, he wakes up every morning and disconnects before he connects. You should hate yourself in the flesh. Does everybody understand that? I hate the flesh. Man, I know when I'm in the flesh, I hate it. I don't talk to nobody. Until I don't do nothing until I know that the flesh is cooking. I can smell that sweet aroma. It's like a barbecue. And then I get peace, joy, and righteousness again. I see the face of Jesus. I hear his voice. My heart has changed. Everything has changed. Because in the flesh, it's nothing but nasty. And you should hate it. I hate it. Everyone should hate it. That's carrying the spirit of the living God should hate your flesh, your old man. You should hate it. Why? Because it's a son of the devil. It's a daughter of the devil. And we carry that thing on with us all the time until we finally shed it. That's why it must be crucified all the time. Take off my shoe and beat it sometimes. Bam, bam. Hallelujah. Don't pull out any baseball bats. You'll definitely hurt yourself. Glory. Verse 22, that you should put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and your thoughts. That you put on the what? New man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, are you going to be able to do this if you haven't reached the true conversion? Now, in the process of the conversion, you're going to practice this. Amen? Until it becomes what? Automatic. Because when it becomes automatic, that's your life. That's a part of your life. You listen, the whole thing of going through the process of Holy Ghost boot camp and officers training school to be prepared for warrior. I mean, what do they do in boot camp? In the military, what do? They dismantle you. They dismantle you. They change your way of thinking. They cause you to be alert of an enemy. They show you how to use weapons. You become sensitive to the strategies of the enemy. That's in the military. Well, we're in the military. This is a spiritual military. Let me tell you, this spiritual military is more important than this physical military. God is dependent on his army to defeat the spiritual military, so it'll assist the physical military. Hallelujah. So what happens then? They don't advance in conversion or maintain true conversion position. And they go astray. Is everybody okay? Colossians 3. Remember, in this conversion, it is conversion, it's converting the soul, isn't it? Because the soul part of an individual is the interpreter. It interprets. Colossians chapter 3, is everybody there? Verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. When a person is in a place of true conversion, the Holy Spirit has access to everything. Because the person is now yielded. The person is now surrendered. the person no longer lives for them, they live for God. Always waiting on the next command. Always waiting. What do you want to do? Not moving until he knows. And when you don't know, you maintain the same course. Amen? Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. We love long-suffering. Bearing with one another. That means putting up with one another. And forgiving one another. Even if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do the same. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In other words, first putting on, but first you must take off. Take off the old man and put on the new man. It is the word of the anointing that dwells in us richly. We must allow that to have dominion. Amen? Now, when this begins to happen, God begins to increase our wisdom. Remembering every choice, decision, and desire is displayed. I'm going to say this again. That every one of your choices, decisions, and desires displayed by the level of your conversion. It is the fruit of your conversion. What you choose, what you approve, what you accept, what you reject, and what is your desire, that fruit is displayed by the level of your conversion. How you handle things, whether you think you're better than other people. Let me tell you, God has all kinds of multiple tests for us. When he was bringing me through conversion, one of the things he used to say to me, what would you do, guy? Man, I didn't want to answer. What would you do, guy? I would see things that happened. I would see things that I liked and disliked. I would think about things in ministry that should be and maybe things that shouldn't be. But he would say to me, guy, what would you do? And I said, whatever you want. Why? Because it wasn't my place to make that decision. I'm going to give you the last say. Then finally one day he said, okay, now, that answer is no longer acceptable. In other words, you've reached a place of conversion where I want you to answer me. And as I began to answer him, he began to respond back. Adjust my answer for correction. Give me more wisdom. So there was an open communication. And as he began to teach me more and more, it didn't mean I was going around trying to judge everything. Oh, this is what I would do, and this is what I would do, and this is what I would do. No, that's pride. This is how I would do it. No, that's pride. Because that word I will kill you. It's not what we would do or what our opinion is. It's the area, and this is where we maintain a place of humility. Listen, if you're in relationship with the King of Glory, God Almighty that holds everything in his hand, you better carry a humble spirit. Knowing who he is, what he can do, and what he can hold, and everything else. But besides all of that, see, this may sound strange, that's kind of irrelevant. If you're in love with him. If you're in love with him, you know that he's in love with you. And everything you do is because you love one another. Not because we're trying to do everything to prevent from going to hell. Oh, I need to do this. I shouldn't do this. Or I shouldn't. That's outer court living. And that's a person that's not reached a true conversion. Because in true conversion, you have a love affair. I do the things that I do because I have a relationship. I love him. He loves me. We're best friends. He laughs at my jokes. I laugh at his. There's a relationship. Praise God. Does everybody get this? This is God. Okay, so this is the area where in that conversion, all of this other stuff is irrelevant. Unless we haven't reached that conversion yet, it's very relevant. Amen? Hallelujah. Did we do Colossians yet? Yes, we did, didn't we? Thank you. All right, let's go to Romans 6. Glory. Hallelujah. You know, when you reach this in this level, in the area, not all of God's answers are going to please you. But you're going to respect them. I'm going to say that again. Not all of God's answers are going to please you. But you respect them. You honor them. Because it's what he said, what he desires. Romans 6, 5. Let's speak it. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. So in this level of conversion, there's also a level of death that we reached. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over me, over him. For the death that he died to what? Sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also do what? Reckon yourselves to be what? Dead indeed to sin or evil influence, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore what? Therefore what? Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. In other words, don't allow that voice to have dominion in you. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you if you truly are maintaining a position of true conversion. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace, which is God's plan. So it's always manifesting. He says, reckon yourself to be dead to the influence of evil, not allowing the desire of evil to decommission you. To do what? Decommission your conversion. But take authority and dominion. Remember, the enemy does not want you to reach that place because he fears your position there. 2 Timothy chapter 2.